Thanks. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to public meeting. Welcome to a Thursday night. If you're here for the first time, a special welcome to you. Yeah, it's actually my first time on Thursday night as well. I met some of you guys last weekend when we went to NJIT Getaway down in Maru. It was very, very good. Good talks on the Bible, good times, hanging out with all of you guys. And yeah, so if you guys are going for the Arts Getaway or Focus Getaway this weekend, look forward to it. And yeah, so it's my first time there. It's my first time meeting some of you guys. My name's actually Asher, and I was born in Egypt. That's true. I know I don't really look Egyptian, but my family has been there a really, really long time, just generations and generations. And our family was in the brick making business. And actually, a lot of my friends' families were also in the brick making business, and all of us worked for the government. In fact, we worked, you know, very cheaply. Read free. We're actually slaves in Egypt. But then, as you all know, the Lord, He brought us out of Egypt. As you met today, all these plagues started happening, and you know, Moses led us out, walked through the Red Sea, and God showed His power and used Moses to part the Red Sea, and we're on our way to freedom. And yes, on the way to the land that God had promised us ages and ages ago. And so we began our journey, right? And so we didn't really bring enough food, and so we quickly got really hungry. And all of us, well, I think we weren't really very nice to Moses, because all of us grumbled at Moses, saying, "Hey, Moses, why do you bring us out? You know, we're much better when we're slaves. When we're sitting around pots filled with meat. Now we're just going to die." And I kind of feel sorry for Moses now, because he was trying his best, and yeah, it wasn't very good for us to grumble. But anyway, I want to tell you how God provided. So we would camp, right? Every night we just camp, and what happened every morning was that we'll wake up and there'll be this dew around the camp. It's dew, okay? And so as you know, the sun came up, the dew would just kind of evaporate, right? And so it evaporate, and what would be left would be like bread from heaven. And this bread, the Bible says, you can read it. It tasted like wafers made with honey. And it was very, very, very delicious. It was good. And for 40 years, God provided for us like this every single day. And for 40 years, nobody went without lack. Everybody had enough to eat. But there's an interesting thing about this bread. Get a drink. That's a really interesting thing about this bread. I don't know, but when you go to a bakery, right, you buy a loaf of bread, and you slice it up, you have a breakfast, you expect the next day to be able to take that same loaf and, you know, have it again. But no, God's bread kind of went festy really quickly. After one day, if you had leftovers, the next day you start to stink, and there'd be worms, and yep, you obviously couldn't eat it. So it wasn't that God's bread was low quality, but it was just, you know, God's way of doing things. And yep, more on that later. But there's really something very cool about this bread. The Bible says that it was recorded, and I can, you know, give testimony to that. Any of us who collected didn't collect as much as we should have. We never went without. It was a very strange thing, but you know, always had enough to eat. But there's an exception to this bread not rotting, or this bread rotting rule. Do you guys know about the Sabbath? Yes? Well, the Sabbath, so 6 days you work, and on the seventh day you rest. And so on the seventh day, God wouldn't be providing us any bread. So what happens is that on the day before the Sabbath, we'll collect twice as much. And the day before the Sabbath, any leftovers that were left, they wouldn't rot, and they wouldn't stink, and there wouldn't be worms, and we could eat it, and we wouldn't have to go out get any bread. So that was the only exception to the rotting rule. Now, you might be wondering why I'm telling you this story. And the reason is because I've heard that you guys are going through the Lord's Prayer. And because of my experience with bread in the wilderness and God providing us with bread daily, I thought that it'd be good to share the story with you today. Since today we'll be looking at, give us today, our daily bread. So what's this bread that Jesus is talking about? I think he's likely talking about food. But I also think it's a bit wider than that. It's a bit broader than that. It's talking about all the things that we need to live. Things like physical things, material things like food, water, warmth, clothing, shelter. I think that's what he's talking about. So when we ask our Father to give us today our daily bread, we're asking him to provide for our physical needs. But let's talk about the words give and daily. Now, what do these words evoke? What kind of feelings do they bring about? What do these two words tell us about ourselves? Well, it tells us that we are dependent beings, that all of the physical things that we need have to come from God. There's nothing that we need and that we enjoy right now that doesn't come from God. We ask him for these things daily and we depend on him. But how does this make you feel? And does it make you feel fragile in a way? That we are weak and we're not in control? Well, it's great if you do feel that way, because yeah, that's how I feel. And I think that's the way we're supposed to feel, because we are creatures depending on the Creator. And our Father is the one that has made us, and he's the one that continues to sustain us. And we cannot live apart from him, even though we think we actually are. But there's this thing called money, right? And money is what we use to get our food. Money is what we use to get our clothes, pay our rent, buy our shoes. It's what we get when we sell stuff. And the moment we have, I guess, a nice big surplus of money, we start to think that, hey, I'm pretty secure. Like, I don't really need God anymore. I don't need him to protect me because I have all this money. And you find your security in your money. And we start to abandon God. But I'm not sure if that's like, I'm pretty sure that's not the right view to take, because it's God that has made us. And if God is sustaining you with the very breath that you breathe, then all questions of how hard I've worked and how much I've saved really don't make sense. And we are dependent on God, even though we think we aren't. But is being fragile, does it, sort of scare us? Does it make us feel afraid? But I think it shouldn't, because not because of who we are, because of who our Father is. He's made everything and he can do anything he wants. And everything that he wants to do or and will do is always good, and he loves us very, very deeply. So let's acknowledge our creatureliness and embrace it and start to actually willingly depend on him and willingly look to him as our provider. And because he's a loving Father that he is, we can go up to him and ask for anything. We can ask him to provide a house if we are looking for one. We can ask him for strength as we study. There's nothing that we need that is too petty to request of God. Let's just look at the first reading. Which father, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If asked for bread, will give him a stone? Verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. Let's go back to the story I told you earlier. You know, the story about the rotting bread and the worms in the bread. Well, Moses told us not to leave any of it for the next day because, well, there would be bread the next day. So just collect enough that you need and eat it all and go out the next day and collect it. But some of us, we didn't really obey Moses, and we actually went, we kept some for the next day, thinking that that's what we would eat the next day. I'm not sure why some of us did that. Maybe it's because they didn't really trust God to provide for the next day. They thought that they needed to provide for themselves. I guess, well, looking back at it right now, it makes me quite sad because they had seen God's power. They had seen God lead us out of Egypt with such power. And we should have trusted God, and we should have known that He would be faithful to His promises and that He would provide for us daily as He said He would. But instead, we disobeyed Him. We didn't listen to Moses, and we thought that we had to provide for ourselves. And I guess it's kind of like the same with us today as well. As a Christian, like, we're now a son or daughter of God. So can we please trust our Father? Because since He has shown us this great love through His Son, can we please trust that He will provide for us and that He is faithful to His promises and not think that we can live without Him? Well, if you're not a Christian here, well, that's great. You're still very, very welcome here. And it's going to go on a bit of a detour to tell you. Well, first of all, if you're not a Christian and you've hung around Christians, hopefully you would realize that we're, you know, big on Jesus. Big on Jesus, right? But I wonder if you know why. And I'm going to spend a few minutes on a detour telling you why. So, it's because Jesus did something that was really precious for each and every single one of us. And He did something that we could not have done it for ourselves. He sacrificed Himself. He suffered in our place. Took on the punishment that we deserved. And He took on a punishment that He never deserved. And He did this for us so that we can be saved, that we would not have to spend an eternity in hell. And because of this, because of what He has done, that's why we worship Him. But if, well, let's see. It's because we all acknowledge that we have not lived a perfect life. We have not lived up to God's standard. And that's why we need this forgiveness. But some of us might say, and I've heard it before, why does God need us to be perfect? I've not done anything extremely wrong. I've not robbed a building. I've not killed anybody. I've done anything too bad. If I am going to hell, I think God's just being a little bit petty, if you ask me. But, okay, so let's say we've got God, right? We've got God. He's like the creator of all. He's the maker of the universe. Everything that can be seen and can't be seen. We want this God to be perfect. We want this God to have a perfect standard. I guess now we're asking is that, what happens if God didn't have a perfect standard? What would happen if God chooses certain sins to be okay and certain sins to be, you know, gives us, like, you know, a cosmic wink? And I guess that would mean, like, if somebody says, Father, somebody's stolen my book, What's God going to say? Like, is he going to say, like, that's all right, Jimmy. It's just a book. Get over it. Like, is that the kind of God that we want? Do we want a God who rules a kingdom that has legal limits for theft? And that do we want to live in a kingdom where bribery and corruption is just, you know, allowed at, you know, small, bite-sized, you know, bits? No, I don't think so, right? Like, I think we want God to be totally righteous, to be absolutely just. We all don't want to be sinned against, and I think that is something that all of us can agree on, that we want to live in a society that is completely perfect. And so why should we expect God to not have a perfect standard? But the good news is that God loved us so much that he would rather suffer and die so that we wouldn't have to die and suffer in hell because of how we have lived. God, he chose to make himself a man, and he chose to live 30 years or so here, being tempted in every way. Eventually he would get arrested for nothing that he did. And then he would be whipped by the men that he created. And then he would carry his own cross. And on that cross, his hands and feet would be nailed there. And then he would die a shameful death in front of everybody. And he would rather do that than see you spend eternity in hell. If you want to find out more, and if any questions, like, you know, oh, if I were God, I'll give more proof. If I were God, I'll stop the suffering. Come to Mission Week. It's in week 5. John Smart will be speaking. And of course, you can ask anybody any question. No question is unwelcome. But that's it for the detour. And coming back right now. So do you guys remember the Sabbath day? You know how on the Sabbath day, nobody was supposed to get bread? And how we would have bread from the day before because it wouldn't rot, right? But some of us, we didn't obey God again. Some of us, instead of having what was left over, which is still good, we went out to look for more. I'm not sure why we did it. Well, I can guess why. I think it's because we were greedy. It's because we wanted more than God would give us. So we weren't content with the provision that God gave us. It wasn't as if God's provision wasn't enough. He had already given us enough to eat and had always given us enough to eat. But we weren't content with our provision. And that's the same for us, I guess. Like, some of us have more and some of us have less. And I'm pretty sure that not all Christians are living out of poverty. I think we would be in denial if we said that. But have we ever thought that perhaps those who have been given much, like ourselves, might be God's means to provide for those that are in lack? Well, let's talk about stewardship then. Stewardship. I think God has been gracious to us, and for most of us, we have a surplus, a leftover. We've been given more than we need. So, maybe I thought we could spend some time looking inwardly and searching ourselves and thinking about what we're doing with what the Father has given us, what we're spending it on, and how do we decide how we use our money. It's kind of like a touchy issue, I think. Like, nobody's really, you know, heaps open about talking about money. And these are hard questions to ask, but there will be a day when we will all have to give account for how we've lived. All Christians will be saved, no doubt about that whatsoever. But before God, all of us will have to account for how we lived our lives. And if we want to be found to be good and faithful servants on the last day, I think it's a good idea to spend some time looking inwardly and searching ourselves and seeing if we are living the way God would have us live. So let's think about poverty and hunger and the needs of human beings in this world. And is God's mission at the forefront of our minds, or is it more of an afterthought? Looking at Matthew 6 in the readings today. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground here. It's either one and the other not. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. So what is God's mission on earth? God's mission is to redeem a people to himself, to get his gospel out there so that every nation will hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He cares about the poor. He cares about the broken and hungry. And is God's mission our mission? Is it our first priority, or is it more of an optional dessert that we think about after we've, you know, fully satisfy ourselves? So let's think about the amount of money that we've earned this year. I know some of us don't really earn any money, but let's think of the amount of money. Let's think of the amount of money that we have this year, right? Okay, so we have this figure, and let's think about next year. You know, if we knew that we would have 20% less next year, what is something that we wouldn't be spending money on? What would be, you know, the part of our budget that would be most affected? Is it, I don't know, buying clothes, buying books, eating out, that sort of thing? And maybe, how about voluntarily cutting back a bit for the sake of Christian giving? Well, I can't answer that question for you. I'm not going to ask you to, like, you know, eat porridge for the rest of your life. And it is true that God has given us good things to enjoy. He's given us food to enjoy. He's given us art, culture. And all these things are good things. And they are good gifts from God. And we should thank Him for them. We should thank Him for that. And appreciate them and love them. But the moment that I think God's mission starts to take a bit of a back seat, we have started to serve possessions and money over the only one that we should worship, and that is our Father in heaven. Okay. I guess to conclude, let's talk about stuff that we have heard today. First one is, I guess, God has made us and He sustains us, and we depend on Him to care for us. So let us acknowledge that and acknowledge Him who provides for us daily and thank Him for that. Let us trust in God. Maybe trust that He cares for us because He sent Jesus to free us from our slavery to sin. We know that He loves us. And let us live a life that reflects that knowledge. And lastly, let us not be greedy. Let us not be greedy consumers, but let us be generous with our money. Let us be worshippers of God and not money and possessions. Can I just pray to close? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the gospel. We thank You that while we were still Your enemies, You died for us. And pray, Father, that we would live a life that reflects that gratitude to You, reflects our love for you. We pray, Father, that we would love godliness. We pray, Father, that we thank you, Father, for providing for us daily. We pray, Father, that we would acknowledge that and we would continue to trust that you care for us and that you are not a selfish God and that you do not withhold good things from your children. We pray, Father, we will trust in every decision that you make, however confusing it might be at times. And Father, we thank you for all that you've given us to be good stewards of. And we pray, Father, that we would be indeed good stewards. We pray, Father, that we would be generous with our time and our resources, and that we would care about what you care about. And pray, Father, that we will live a life here, and so that a good life here, in obedience to you, so that on that last day we might be found good and faithful servants. We pray all these things for our joy and your glory. Amen.